the story from the Danville Register B, which is now godanriver.com. And just about a week ago, almost a week ago, on Thursday, Danville police announced that unspecified gang members are threatening to harm or kill Danville police officers. In the past few months, three police vehicles have been shot into, and an officer was in the vehicle when two of those shootings happened. Violence in Danville continues to rise after a year where the city set a record with 16 homicides.
It's pretty good for a small city like that.
The outbreak of crime has continued into this year with a double homicide, shootings, and several robberies with suspects using knives and bats. So Danville Police Chief Philip Broadfoot says, "We have taken steps to keep officers safe." But he didn't go into detail on those steps for security reasons, but he says we've been doing so for several months. Police announced last Thursday that they've received specific information about threats to individual police officers and to all officers of the Danville Police Department. "We're trained for these situations," he said. Danville Police Lieutenant Mike Wallace said. "We've always had instances of threats to police officers." I guess if you're a threat, if you're a police officer, you always kind of have to have that attitude, don't you? That mentality that you could be a target. But it's one thing to just be trained to have that awareness and be on your guard. It's another thing to know that there are people who have said, "Okay, Lieutenant so-and-so, we're going to kill you. We're out to get you."
I think that most of us are fortunate enough not to have to put up with that sort of thing in our jobs. But that, yeah, it's
part of it comes with the territory.
Yeah, I mean, that's some of it is going to come with being a cop, and you know, how much benefit of the doubt do you then not accord to some people over it?
Well, see, that's interesting. Gang members have adopted the phrase "Danville Police Department Killers," DPDK. And they wear clothing, like shirts, with that statement or abbreviation on it.
I'd say you probably cost yourself some level of benefit of the doubt if you're wearing that shirt.
Chief Broadfoot says, "Threats on officers' lives occur periodically. What's disturbing about this new threat is the blatant disrespect to the police department." So, if you're a Danville police officer and you're a routine traffic stop. I can't even think of the verb to use. You have a routine traffic stop, somebody with the taillight out or something, and you pull the guy over and you see that he's wearing a shirt that says "Danville Police Department Killers." As you said, you're less likely to give, should the officer be less likely to give that guy the benefit of the doubt?
I don't see how you wouldn't. I mean, you can't. There's nothing illegal about wearing a shirt, regardless of what it says. You can't just harass people over it or something like that. You probably just maybe, a little bit of more of an eye on them, I guess, or something like that. I don't know exactly how you would deal with it, but I don't know how, you know, all things being equal, one guy has a police department killer shirt on, another guy doesn't. I can only imagine that, you know, there's a little more trepidation with the guy with the T-shirt. And it might be unwarranted in any particular situation. You don't know, but it's understandable that you would have a certain reaction to it.
"Disrespect is something we're trained to deal with," Chief Broadfoot said. "That disrespect has gone to the next step when it involves violence and death threats. Attempted capital murder or capital murder of a law enforcement officer can result in a life sentence or the death penalty, according to Virginia law." And then it goes into the incidents where the police cars were shot into, usually, or all three of those had to do with when police had responded to shots fired, two suspected gang-related incidents, and in all three incidents, the shooters hid themselves from being detected. Police have information that individuals are trying to consolidate control over Danville-based homegrown street gangs. Gang aspirants are encouraged to commit various crimes like robberies and shootings to prove their commitment, bring fame to the gang, and for credibility, for street cred. That's what they have to do to get into the gang. A disproportionate percentage of recent reported violent incidents have gang-related associations, according to Danville police, like homicides, robberies, shootings, and burglaries of homes and businesses. If you're in Danville, how worried are you about this? And is it the kind of situation where maybe you think, well, as long as I stay out of the gang areas, the bad neighborhoods, this problem doesn't affect me? It's all over in certain areas, and the gang members are shooting at other gang members, and they'll just kind of take care of the problem themselves. That's one attitude to have. But when they have actively, blatantly targeted the police, that's another conversation altogether. If they're going to go after the police.
And I think if you did that, you would get quite the firestorm of reaction, probably. But I think you have that in Lynchburg a lot, mm-hmm. with gangs here. You know, it's over. You know, it's all the other side of Floyd Street or whatever it is. And imagine an awful lot of people, if you don't live in that little, what is that, northeastern part of the city, that whatever. You know, no one's coming over here to Hurdle Hill Road or, you know, Rainbow Forest or whatever it is and shooting the place up. And as long as that doesn't happen yet, it's probably less to it. I mean, the history of go all the way back to the 20s in New York, and you had over bootlegging and gambling gang wars. And when the gang members were killing each other, no one really cared. And then one day, I think it was a 6-year-old boy who was shot. In just, stray gunfire, like we just talked about with Chicago. And that was when all of a sudden people cared. That's when the crackdown on gangs started. Maybe it would take that, but that hasn't done anything in Chicago, at least that I can tell. Now, certainly Danville and Chicago, a world apart. But how this works itself out and how people are to take it, it's a fair question.
Well, it was just about a year ago that a Danville doctor was shot as he walked home from the hospital. Remember that? And that's a nice neighborhood, but he was shot during an attempted robbery. And he had to be taken down to Wake Forest for his injuries, if I recall correctly, and he is okay. But that was kind of a wake-up call for some people. Oh, wow, this can happen in even... And not any indication that that was anything other than an attempted robbery. Maybe it was, gang related, but kind of a wake up call. Oh, this can happen in nicer neighborhoods too. I mean, police need to treat all these crimes equally, regardless of what neighborhood they're happening in. Just do you scoff at that idea?
I wouldn't count on it. If you have a neighborhood where there's any number of gang shootings, activity, whatever it's going to be, and one where there's very little of it, I can imagine as an officer patrolling them, you have a very different mindset from one to the other.
So I've been looking and reading the stories and looking back a few years and haven't seen any, and I think it would have been pointed out in the articles if it had happened, but I haven't seen any stories about Danville police officers shooting anybody. I don't get the feeling from these articles and the things I've read that Danville police are a trigger happy bunch, which is a good thing. Do you worry that police officers, and Chief Broadfoot is quick to say we are trained to handle this and we are taking precautions, but do you worry that they're just going to, that somebody, especially somebody wearing the shirt that basically says I want to kill you, do you worry that that's going to be a consequence of this? You're going to have police officers who are more likely to shoot first, ask questions later.
I don't know if I'd quite put it that way, but if you had a question, maybe you are more likely to take you know, an object pulled from a pocket to be a gun than something else if you see that shirt. I mean, I don't know for sure. But as I say, it seems like you're going to lose some level of benefit of the doubt, and I'm hard-pressed to say that you shouldn't.
The Register B tagged along with Officer D.C. Ferguson. He was flagged down by a resident earlier this week, and she told him that she had seen something unusual. A woman was sitting in the driver's seat of a vehicle with no license plates in the parking lot of the Family Dollar on South Main Street in Danville. So he could have addressed the situation himself, and maybe before these threats came in, he would have, but he took precaution and called backup. He says, it gets frustrating the amount of disrespect you have from people when it comes to law enforcement. He's a 15-year veteran of the Danville Police Department. You have to train officers to be more thick-skinned unless it involves a threat, according to Danville Police Department Lieutenant Mike Wallace. But Officer Ferguson says the ones talking DPDK, Danville Police Department killers, are not new, but the way they showcase their stance hasn't been seen before. And sometimes he says the anger isn't directed at an officer specifically. Sometimes the anger is for the badge or the uniform. That's being very, very generous to them, isn't it? He says, just like they're not scared of our uniforms, I'm not going to be scared of a T-shirt, says Officer Ferguson.
I mean, as a police officer, I don't think you can you?
He says, someone wearing the DPDK shirt, it's not a crime by itself. It's nothing you can really do about it, but take note of who has it on. So he's not taking any chances with any calls, as mundane as they may appear. So he called for backup as far as this car sitting in the parking lot of the Family Dollar with no tags, and the backup officer arrived and they drove to the parking lot to talk to the occupants. And she said that she was just waiting for a family member to get to her to pay for the car's inspection, license plates, and property tax, and that the temporary tags had flown off the car.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hate it when that happens.
Mm-hmm. And so he just told her, you need to go back and get another one. And she got back in her car, and the police left. So it was no big deal. But the point is that they're treating everything like a big deal. 534-8500. How frustrating. And then and as we talked about earlier, there's, you know, what's the answer? What do you do to stop the gangs and to let them know that there's more to life than the gang activity that's going to end you up either dead or in prison?
Probably not anything effectively people wouldn't bitch and moan about. I mean, this problem strikes me as all but intractable.